Oh man, I wish I had a fairy godmother to help me with my fit. It's looking kind of busted right now.
Hey you, cutie with no hoodie. It's your fairy godmother.
Damn, you mean a fairy god me? Because we sound just alike. Am I having an insecure Issa Rae in the mirror moment?
Yeah, whatever, don't worry about it. We got you covered, okay? So we gonna make sure that you are looking hot this winter when you go out to have a ball.
Okay. So what y'all got over there?
Well, I am the Millennials Anonymous DTLR Villa Fairy, say that 10 times fast, and they got you. They got matching sets from Puma, Nike, Juicy Couture, and so much more.
Okay.
All you gotta do is go to millennials.com/shops and click on DTLR Villa, and you can get the savings today.
Okay, let's go.
Now, hurry back,
because my car's gonna turn into a pumpkin if I don't come back on time?
No, Millennials Anonymous is on, so let's go.
Millennial, what?
Pray a trust.
You are watching us from the last room
they've ever owned tonight.
Consider
yourself lucky. Millennial, what? Millennial, who? My name is Lisa, and I'm a fucking millennial.
I did not.
Because with Pharrell, we made it out some shit. Pharrell. Yeah, you know we run the world, right?
I'm saying in Tennessee, I know it's Texas.
I just want y'all to hold it.
That don't even sound right. That don't even sound like me. Mm-mm.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed are the individual guest's own and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of Millennials Anonymous or MAPS Media. The material and information presented here is for entertainment purposes only and not meant to malign any person, place, thing, or group. MAPS Media's name and all forms and abbreviation are the property of its owner, and its use does not imply endorsement or opposition of any specific organization, product, or service. This is purely entertainment, folks. Now let's get it. Anonymous podcast. Yes, it is your girl, Lise Winnie, and I am a fucking millennial. Yes, I am. Yes. And we're going to get it all started right. And so very quickly, but before we get there, let's do the sidebar to a sidebar. Well, technically, it's not a sidebar. I had a really good weekend. I am losing my freedom, so to speak, as I'm signing. I will be taking a role as a producer for another company outside of MAPS Media. I'm still doing MAPS Media, but I'm in addition to, right? And so in addition to, and I'll tell you about it when I feel comfortable. I'm going to keep it to my breast assist right now because like it's new. Like I did sign something, so it's official, but it's still very, very new. And I won't have as much free time for myself. So I think this weekend I just wanted to kind of like relax. And that's what the fuck I did. So I really relaxed this weekend. I think I watched some films. I watched a couple documentaries about the Queen and the British Crown. Because, you know, they've been talking about it. Everybody been talking about them, whether it's good or bad. And so I was kind of curious about some of the things that were going on. And when you look at, like, I don't get the monarchy. I don't get that you were, you know, ordained by God, so to speak, that you are supposed to be the queen and somehow you were born better than somebody else or the king or royal. I don't get that. I don't get it. All people are people. Money and stature, and we add value to stuff. People do. The dollar is worth a dollar because we believe that it's worth a dollar. Like, people put value to things. It's not innately you're better or you're more valuable as a person. Somebody said you were, and I believed it. So I don't really go for the monarchy thing. But here's the thing. I get it. Like, you know, and watching all of the 4 billion people are estimated to watch this funeral, right? I get it. Like, when you look at the documentaries, because the whole theme and the premise of duty of the monarchy is to make sure that the monarchy continues to exist at all cost. And so I get it. So you get the grandeur, you get the symbolism, the traditionalism, you get why people watch it. This is really like the Real Housewives of Atlanta or the Real Housewives of Orange County for British folks. This is, you know, they eat that up like fish and chips. Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso. Like, this is, that's what they do. And I get it. Because when you see all of the, they wearing the military suits and, you know, the bearskin hats and the hot heat and shit. Like, it's just like, okay, it's a whole thing. It makes you feel like the story of Cinderella, like the queen and the princesses and all of that. And so people fall in love with the story of royalty and you know, the knight in shining armor and all of that stuff. But you realize that a lot of those fairy tales and, like, even Cinderella, those stories were dark. When you really see where the British crown came from, like, girl, like the cousins of Queen Elizabeth II, girl, you know, because her uncle, or I guess would be great uncle, because that was her grandfather's cousin. I ain't doing this today. He was the czar, the last czar of Russia. They had all this money and loveliness, and the people were just struggling, and that's where the revolution came in. They have German roots, where even her uncle, Queen Elizabeth II's uncle, was over there with Hitler and them. Like, I don't know if we can disconnect all of that. There's always going to be a dark cloud on some people that are at the top. I don't think anybody who's at the top has not had something that somebody can deem as bad. Now, what I will say is that the British crown probably has some darker clouds than most, but most people at the top of anything, whether it's the CEO, whether it's the president, everybody can say they did something bad, because we're all good and bad. But here's the thing. I think that we do need to have a conversation. I think there's a way to have the conversation, which I don't know if we was having the right conversation when a lot of y'all on Twitter, but there is a way to have the conversation, because it's brought up the question of reparations, like whether or not England should pay reparations to places like Jamaica, who, or in the people in the Caribbean, because they colonized them. And then also they took a lot of people from the Caribbeans over after World War II, over from the Caribbeans, put them in England, helped them rebuild England, promised them citizenship and jobs and all of that. And then they ripped the rug from under them, pretty much. And they pretty much didn't offer them the citizenship. They didn't have jobs. They didn't have money. And they kicked a lot of them out. Now, they did pay some reparations for that, but very few of those people actually got any of the money. So there's a lot of things of the way that the British crown reshaped the world. Literally reshaped the world. And when you look at all of those things, it does say, well, maybe we should have some of these questions, at least things that are simple to resolve. Reparations is might not be quite as simple, because reparations probably will look different for different countries. But one thing that is very simple to solve is, if you have somebody else's property, you should give it back. I believe you have my property. I think you should give it back. And the question comes in about these two diamonds. One is in the crown jewels, in her crown. The other one is in the scepter. So Queen Elizabeth II is not the person who actually obtained these jewels. So let's start there. So a lot of it, you have to realize that she became, her coronation was in 1953. At that point, time wasn't good for people of color, especially black people. Time, it was bad. It was bad in England. It was bad in the U.S. It was bad. And so she did come into power during times of things were bad, and a lot of the time she didn't do a lot when things were not great. Like, sometimes she just kind of like, I don't see it, like that kind of thing. But at that point, these diamonds were already acquired. Okay, so when you look at the scepter, and I know a lot of people, this is an African diamond, the motherland, the soil there, mineral rich, life comes from Africa. So when you look at this diamond, it was huge. So when they found it, it was like over 3,000 carats, and it got broken into 96 smaller gems. The way that they came to obtain this diamond is what is in question. So it was from Transvaal. Transvaal was already, people was there. There was already Africans in Transvaal. But Dutch settlers came down and decided that we gonna be better than the black people because we believe that we are. We believe that God made us better than black people, and so we gonna start some shit, even though this ain't our land, but we gonna come down here and start some shit. And that's exactly what they did. They came down and started some shit. And if you know anything about blood diamonds, a lot of the times they were acquired by white people to have black people mine these fields of diamonds and gems. A lot of times it's dangerous, it's deadly, and they don't really even get paid. Some of these kids were kidnapped to do these things. When you see that you have somebody who says that they were gifted, because basically what the British Crown is saying is that the Transvaal government, full of Dutch white settlers, gave us this diamond to King Edward VII, which is Queen Elizabeth II's father, for his birthday. Now listen. Now there was a war that took place between the Boers, who were the white people that didn't like black people, and the Zulus. Okay? British came in, they beat the Boers, and by that point, the Transvaal government, they had no money. So I could see why they might sell some diamonds that didn't belong to them initially to other white folks that have money. I could see that. You could see it. I could see that. So naturally, if you come in to anybody, like if you come in my house, right? You come in, you beat me up, you tie me up and put me in the basement. You are occupying my house and you start giving away my shit. It don't make it your shit. It's still my shit. So that's sort of what happened in South Africa. And this is why they're saying that this diamond belongs to us. It belongs in a South African museum. This is our stuff. If you want to come see these diamonds, you need to come pay your money with us. And so they want them to give the diamond back. This is in the scepter. In the words of Marlon Wayans, it's looking a little shady to me. And as far as the crown goes, that diamond comes from India. So that diamond was given to, supposedly handed over to, the British crown in 1849. Kinnor diamond, which means the mountain of light, was obtained by the Singhs in 1813. And it went through the hands of the Persians, the Afghans, the Mughal people, and it ended up with India. It's like it was 186 carats initially. Marjeet Duleep Singh. In 1849, there was a treaty that he had to sign that gave one of the stipulations in this treaty, because it was a completely imperialism. England came in and took over India. Again, a land that doesn't belong to them. They came in and take it over, you know, and they created an Indian indentured system. Back in like the 1830s, like it's a whole thing where they took Indians out of India with the promise that they would get paid and stuff, moved them to Africa after the abolition of slavery in 1833 in Southeast Africa, put them in there as indentured servants so that they can replace the slave, freed slave labor that they lost. So, like, England be doing some dirty, okay? England been doing some dirty. Nonetheless, this particular diamond was signed in this treaty that they would give the diamond to Queen Victoria. And there was a lot of scandal about all the stuff that England was doing to India, okay? And there was even a war. It was a lot of issues. Even back then, people was like, nah, y'all can't just be going taking people's shit like that. Like that, y'all doing people dirty. So in order to mitigate a lot of the issues, made the diamond smaller. And this diamond is in the crown today. Now, a rumor that it's cursed. So the diamond is supposedly cursed. If a man wears it, he will be cursed and bad things will happen to him. So it's only supposed to be worn by a woman. With all that being said, I think that this brings up a good question of, because India is saying, like, you people pay thousands of dollars each year to go see these diamonds and stuff when they should be seeing them with the people that it belongs to. It's a part of our culture. It's our stuff. And if you want to see it, you can still see it, but it should be with us. And so it's starting those conversations now. And I don't think that they're bad conversations to have. I think we just need to be able to have the conversations in a way that actually makes sense. But I think this is a very simple issue to remedy. Whether or not King Charles III will do that, because he has the right to determine who gets his crown, who gets the jewels, like, it's up to him. Whether or not he decides, because they're supposed to be a modern monarch, to, even though he's 73, whether or not he gives it back, we don't know. Only time will tell whether or not they give it back. But they allowed Queen Elizabeth to use it, Queen Elizabeth II, for many, many years without asking for it back. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. But it does bring up really good questions about the crown in England and all of the issues that in the reshaping of the world, because they really reshaped a lot of the world, but nonetheless.
Superhero feeling, still in underdog, draft the souls like we bump the ball. This is all of me, I'm a legend to you all.
Alright, let's get into this. Now that we didn't talk about the queen, let's get into this. Now, let's talk about the king we almost had. Let's call him King Donald Trump the first of his name, who is the king of House MAGA in Red Country. Okay, I'm gonna say that. Now, Trump, I don't know why he's still talking, because his polls numbers, even amongst Republicans, have dropped. Like, even at his rallies sometimes, like, he's doing and saying things and people are, it's like awkward silences now. I don't even know if even his supporters know how to take this. Like, it's starting to get to a very weird place. It's a very strange place to be for his supporters, and I don't even know if they know how to handle this. I don't think they do. So we've seen Judge Eileen Cannon. She granted the special master for him. She's delaying all of the, like, the search and the investigation for him. Like, he's pretty much gotten whatever he wanted from this judge who he appointed, this federal judge he appointed, that doesn't really have the experience at all, which a lot of the people that he appointed didn't have very much experience. But that seems to be a pattern of Trump. But Trump finally went on a podcast, actually, and he admitted openly that the reason why he took the documents is because he declassified them. Now, this is only an issue because his legal team, they're kind of going with this strategy, but that's not exactly how. Like, when you listen to what he said, it's going to pose a really big issue for his legal team, and I don't know how he doesn't get in trouble for removing these documents.
Mr. Patel said he witnessed you giving verbal orders to declassify the papers that end up at Mar-a-Lago. Do you remember making those orders?
That's correct. And not only that, I think it was other people also were there.
Did you take those papers down there after declassifying them intentionally, or did you have any idea they were there?
Remember this. Everything was declassified, number one. And if you look at the act that was passed, it talks about what you can do, what you can't do, how you negotiate with NARA. And then if you look at what's running NARA, it's radical left run. Radical left.
It should be very interesting to see how this plays out. I don't think you will see Trump arrested. I just don't think we'll see it. Now, I'm never going to say never, because Merrick Garland has stepped a little further than I thought he ever would. So I don't know if we'll ever see it. No president should be above the law, sitting or former, but I don't know if we will see this in American government. The fact that he's still able to run and he's going out on rallies and trails, it's problematic in and of itself. Like, he has like 3 or 4 cases going on at the same time. Like, I don't understand this. Here, anywhere. It's not making sense. But carry on. And Trump homeboys, DeSantis and Abbott, is showing their whole ass. So right now, one of the things that they're doing in Florida and Texas, who are, you can call them border states, are sending migrants north. So Governor Abbott of Texas has sent people to Chicago and other northern cities where he says that they're, you know, they say that they're sanctuary cities. So they're busing them to other places. DeSantis is putting people on planes. Now, as far as the money to send them, especially when they're tax dollars that are sending these people, first of all. And in Florida, their annual budget is like $109 billion. And of that $109 billion, they set aside, instead of giving people money for food and jobs and all this like extra stuff that they need, maybe climate change, since probably in a couple years, Florida probably be in the water. Like, you know, instead of doing that, they set $12 million aside to relocate. And this was a bipartisan budget. Both Democrats and Republicans agreed on this. One of the stipulations in there for $12 million, a little over $12 million, was to relocate migrants out of Florida. They put it in their annual budget. And DeSantis said that he is going to spend every dime of that money relocating migrants. Now, it doesn't mean that he's not facing any legal roles, because of the way that he got the people on the plane. So he got them on the plane under false pretenses, allegedly, and told them they would get food and shelter and jobs, and that they would be going to Boston when they actually ended up in Martha's Vineyard. And so a lot of legal analysts are saying that these people were technically kidnapped, because a lot of the times this is how it happens. In order to kidnap somebody, you have to lure them by false pretenses. That's exactly what happened. And then you take them somewhere else where they're not actually, they didn't think they were going. And so instead of ending up with housing and jobs and expedited, you know, immigration status, they ended up in homeless shelters and churches and other places of people trying to help them. And in his hasty trying to boast, because he got a round of applause from people in Florida, Republicans in Florida, for this, running for president in 2024, could have violated a law. So I don't know if he realized that at the time, but he could be looking at some legal issues, him and Governor Abbott. And so this is problematic that we're seeing this go back and forth. However, we saw this 60 years ago, and a lot of people don't know this because it's not talked about as much, but there was a reverse freedom ride where white segregationists of the South promised these people they would be going to different places. They gave black people one round bus ticket north, promised them jobs and stuff, the same things that they did now, and sent them somewhere else. The same thing that happened then. And when your playbook comes from out of a racist, segregationist playbook, you might need to reconsider, because this is exactly what happened. And this was their way of thumbing their noses up to JFK and for civil rights and trying to make leeway on civil rights, of trying to get black people out of the South in a way that was manipulative, because they ended up with nothing. They didn't have anything. They just gave them these tickets. You're going here. You're going to get these jobs. You're going to be good. And that's not what happened at all. And so we don't talk about that very often, but it happened. And so I think that we do need to look at exactly what this means. And I think it was around like 1962. There are some historical parallels in between what happened to these migrants from Venezuela, because most of them are from Venezuela, and what happened then. So we'll see, because again, this idea came from white supremacists. So we'll see what happens with this, but it doesn't look too good. Like I said, when your playbook come from racism, you might need a new playbook. Maybe throw that one out. Your playbook came wrapped in a sheet. Throw it out. Like, it, maybe that's not it, boo. Maybe that's not it. And the fact that now that both of them have done that to these migrants, they actually might benefit the migrants, because they don't, if they can show that they've been moved there and there was a crime that took place, they could actually help them expedite their status. And even if they don't get the status right away, they can't deport them because of the crime that took place. So I was like, he actually benefited them without knowing that he benefited them. So it's interesting. It's very, very interesting. Speaking of injustices, let's talk about Shaka Zulu. So Shaka Zulu was a music manager. One of his most well-known artists was Ludacris. Manager, longtime manager. He managed him for a very long time. He was arrested, and this is according to, this was being reported in Hip Hop DX. He was arrested and charged with murder on September the 13th in connection to a fatal triple shooting back in June. Now, his attorney and his family, they're speaking out because he actually was a victim. So you may, from hearing that, it just sounds like he shot three people, but he actually was shot by the people that he shot. So his lawyer, who is Gabe Banks, he released a statement on Instagram, which I will read the statement. It's a pretty long statement too. It says, "Mr. Shaka Zulu, a beloved son of the city of Atlanta, is disappointed in the Atlanta Police Department's decision to bring charges against him surrounding the shooting that occurred in June 2022. A close review of all of the evidence, including the surveillance footage and eyewitness interviews, revealed that Mr. Zulu was attacked and jumped from behind by a gang of at least four individuals, sadly, including the decedent, and was forced to defend himself after the gang repeatedly stomped, punched, and kicked him while he was on the ground in a defenseless posture. Mr. Zulu was shot in the back during the shooting and nearly lost his own life and is still recovering from the nearly fatal injuries he sustained that evening. Mr. Zulu was at his place of business that night and had every right to defend himself in an attempt to save his life. Mr. Zulu lawfully discharged his weapon in self-defense, a weapon that he was licensed to carry. Mr. Zulu fully cooperated with law enforcement officials and their investigation and voluntarily turned himself in once he learned of the arrest warrant. Mr. Zulu remains confident that his name will be cleared of all of the charges through the judicial process. It is not lost on Mr. Zulu that someone lost his life, but had Mr. Zulu not lawfully defended himself, Mr. Zulu would have been killed that night." Okay, so it's a lot going on. It's a lot to unpack in this situation. It's a lot to unpack. Now, I have not read the full report on this, so I don't know why they would have charged him. I'm assuming if the person is fleeing, if that makes a difference. Like, I don't know if maybe that's what the difference is between why they're charging him, because the person was no longer a threat to him. But nonetheless, this is a lot. That's a lot to unpack. That's a lot going on right there. So hopefully they're able to get all of that straightened out, because it ain't looking too good. And speaking of not looking too good, apparently Tory Lanez is out here why is he still doing shit? Like, if once you got such a bad light on you, right? Why are you still doing stuff? Like, I don't know when people would develop this OJ Simpson syndrome where it's just like, I fucked up, I got off. Sorta. So, but I'm gonna still be out here in these streets so you can know that I fucked up. Like, why don't you just go sit down? I'm not understanding. Just go sit down. Like, I don't get it. But apparently, Tory Lanez, according to August Alsina, who we ain't heard from since the entanglement, we ain't heard from him since he was entangled with Jada, but he's back. Apparently, he got beat up by Tory Lanez. He got sucker punched by Tory Lanez and then beat up by Tory Lanez security, according to August Alsina. Okay. So, August Alsina is out here posting pictures on Instagram about the incident. Tory Lanez came out and he denied this being involved. He's saying, I don't know what everybody's talking about, but I've been in the studio. I'm not in anything negative. I've been working on myself and being a better person. But August Alsina is saying that he referred to him as a 4'11 size leprechaun. And he's saying that his security team confronted him after a show in Chicago because Tory was upset with August Alsina after refusing to shake his hand over a past comment that Tory made about the entanglement with Jada Pinkett. And so, allegedly, I'm going to say that allegedly is what August Alsina is saying, that he hit or he smoked a blunt that was laced with cocaine and then punched August in the face. Now, I'm like, I don't know how you would know if a blunt was laced with cocaine. I don't know how you make that determination, but okay. And he claims that there was never a fight between him and Tory and himself, but it was just an assault. So Tory hit him, he hid behind his security, and the security continued to pummel him, is what he said. And the comment came from an unreleased song by Tory Lanez, which released back in July 2020, which he referred to August Alsina and Jada. So basically what he said was, let me start effing on Jada. I ain't gonna snitch like August. And so that's the comment that August said he wouldn't shake his hand for, which caused this. Now listen, y'all are two grown ass men. If I'm not mistaken, let me go all the way back. Aren't y'all in y'all 30s? If you're not in your 30s, you got to be damn close. Like, I am not understanding why y'all out here acting like a whole fool. Like, I don't get it. Like, again, this is that syndrome. Sit y'all ass down. August, you sit your ass down. And Tory, you sit your ass way down. Like, you should be way at the bottom. Like, if it's like in a, just like on a pit somewhere, just sit down. Like, I don't understand why are y'all still talking and shit. Like, just sit down. All the way down. Just sit the fuck down. And stop. Stop touching stuff. Just stop. Just stop touching each other. Don't touch nobody else. Just sit down. Sit down. Just sit your ass down. Like, come on. It's so many songs for you to remake as your own, Tory. Sit down. Like, just sit down. Okay. So, speaking of sitting down, I was sitting down, and I was on Instagram scrolling like I do, scrolling, like I told y'all just not to do. So it makes me a hypocrite. And I came across a video. And the video was from Keita Rose, who is a podcaster on the Conversation Cards podcast. I'm assuming she's probably a media person. It says personal blogger on her social media, but I'm assuming she's a media personality because she has a radio voice. Like, certain people have a radio voice or a media voice and certain people don't, and she has one. So I'm assuming she's probably a media personality. But we're going to just say podcaster for now. And I've watched the Conversation Cards podcast. It's a relationship-based podcast. I think it brings up a lot of good conversations. If you like relationship podcasts or sex podcasts, I think it brings up a lot of good conversations. And you can have a lot of conversations off of it. It's a really entertaining podcast. I think the video and the imagery of it is really, really high quality. It's really good. And I've seen her on a couple of different things on other people's podcasts. She's all over the place now. Very popular on social media. And sometimes I agree, sometimes I don't, which should be. You should never agree with somebody 100% of the time, because if that's the case, you probably need to look at why. Just why. So I was watching a reel where she was talking about a preference. Or preferences, or men having preferences, and it's okay that they have preferences, or that anyone has preferences. And she was actually doing social commentary on another person's video. So it was a black woman who was doing commentary about a white man. There's a lot of he said, she said layers. She was doing commentary on a white man who said that he's dated women in every state, I guess, like 50 different women. And all of the women in the video were very petite, slim, white women. He was a white, petite, slender man. So I'm like, okay, makes sense to me. These are the people he mostly is around. So naturally, he would probably be attracted to these people because these are the people that he's around. These are the people that he's seeing. This is the idealistic standard of beauty in the U.S. and European-based nations. So that makes sense to me. Like, well, I don't see the, you know, the big issue here. And the black girl came on and she was like, well, clearly he has a type. This is where Miss Rose goes in. I wish I could find the reel, but I cannot find the fucking reel. Let me see if I can find this goddamn reel. I cannot find the post, the reel. But if you're listening to this and you find the reel, send it to me. It's on Instagram. So in this reel, she goes in to pretty much unpack what the black girl in this video did. And she pretty much was saying that men have preferences. We all have preferences. If you a black girl who likes white men, go find a white man that likes black women. If you are a fat girl and you want a man, go find, don't get upset that men call you fat and ugly. Go find a man that thinks that you are attractive and don't go after those men. Don't try to date those men and then wonder why they treat you bad once you date them. Now, I don't 100% disagree with her take on go find somebody who truly likes you. But I think when you go down this pathway that everybody has a preference, sometimes a preference is a bias. It's not a preference. If you're two, let me also say this. If you're two consenting adults, I don't give a fuck what you're doing. Unless it's my man, it's your man, it's her man too. If it's my man, then I give a fuck. But if it's two consenting adults that aren't being forced into a relationship against their will, I don't give a fuck who dick you suck in or who's you having sex with. I don't care. Like, if white, black, otherwise, you know, fat, skinny, muscular, thin, slim, straight, gay, bi, trans. I don't care who you with. Who you with? I don't care. Ain't my business. But I will say that we cannot sit here and mask bias or fetishes as preferences, which we do a lot. Because sometimes when people have a preference, it's really a bias that's masked as a preference. Like, I don't like these particular people because it somehow has a reflection on me. And I don't like me, so therefore, I don't like you. And if I don't like you just because I don't want to date you, that's fine. But a lot of the times, that spills over into treatment of others. That's where you have to kind of, like, look at, okay, wait a minute. Because there's a difference between saying, I don't really feel somebody that looks like you. I'm not really feeling you, but it doesn't mean that I think this person is better than you. It just means that I don't like that. I'm not physically attracted to that. But in no way is that man or woman or them better than you. They are not better than you. I just don't want that. That is a preference. When you start going, all white women are better than black women, I don't care. First of all, I don't want to date you. You sound like an asshole. Secondly, that's not just going to stay in your dating habits. That's going to transition over to your work life, the way you treat people on the streets, you know, what you're teaching your children, how you're valuing other people. All of that stuff transitions over, and it will impact and affect other people. That's why when you have an attraction to something or you like something, you should probably sit down and figure out, where does this come from? Because a lot of the times our preferences come from what we've been exposed to. Not always, because, you know, I've never been with a woman, but I don't have a desire to be with a woman. But I think that when it comes to preferences, a lot of the times we only like the things that we're exposed to. Like as a little kid, some of your favorite foods in the whole world were foods that you were exposed to. Like the only reason why you said that was your favorite is because that's the food you had. Had they taken you out of, you know, a home, let's just put you anywhere, in Kansas, and they dropped you in somewhere in, let's say, Korea, your favorite foods are going to be different. Why? Because you're exposed to different things. So sometimes a preference is not really a preference as much as I don't really have very much to go on except for that's all I see. So when you look at preferences and biases, especially when it comes to things like appearance, a lot of the things that we think are attractive were programmed into us that that is the standard of beauty. We're basing your beautiful traits on what we told was beautiful. Now, sometimes we don't say the shit out loud. Like you see somebody like, I find this person attractive, but I don't want to say it because they don't fit the standard of beauty. And if I date this person, other people are going to judge me for dating this person. So more than likely, I'm going to go and find somebody that fits that standard of beauty. It happens. So if you, especially now, everybody is build a body. Everybody's built like the same. If you got a little money, you got a little work done. No judgment there. I'm not one of them people you gotta beat. Fuck that. If you got money and you wanna go get your shit done, go get your shit done. My thing is this. The reason why we, all the girls on Instagram have big asses and small waists and their arms don't match and their legs is because somebody told you, probably by way of Kim Kardashian, that this is the standard of beauty. Why? Because she was rewarded with money and fame and everybody was saying how gorgeous she was. And so then everybody wanted to look like that. So then everybody looked like that. It's very few people who don't seek out to be like everybody else because humans want to be like everybody else. We want to be coupled and we want to be in groups. That's how we've survived forever. So we look to follow. There are very few leaders in this world. Everybody think they a fucking leader until they really sit back and think like, where do my views come from? And most of the time your views come from somewhere. It is usually the opinions of somebody else. Like most people don't go and find this information on their own. They're getting the information by way of someone else. So anything that humans touch, and it's okay if that's how you get your information, that's okay, but at least know it. Anything humans touch, I was talking about the documentaries that I watch, is biased. It all has a slant to it because they have a story or a theme that they want to convey. Anything humans touch has bias. And that's okay because we can't fix that. But you just need to know it. So when you say stuff like that, yeah, some truth to it. Don't go following people that don't want you. Don't go following people that are going to treat you like shit. But at the same time, we cannot ignore the underlying issue that there are some underlying issues. And the second thing that I think is problematic that we never talk about is I don't want to date any person that wants to date me because I am black, because I am fat, because I am tall. No. I want somebody to date me because they like me and I just so happen to be black, fat, and tall. Because if somebody's dating you specifically because you're black, it doesn't really matter who you are. It's just they're black. Like I have a fetish and I want to date a black woman. And you just fit that bill. I don't give a fuck about you. You can be of anyone. I just want to date you because I have this fetish about dating a black woman. No. Anybody that tells you that, run. And I don't think we have that conversation enough. If somebody wants to date you specifically because you are fat, run. Like, they should want to date you because you are amazing and you just so happen to be fat. I don't want anybody to date me because specifically because of a physical trait. Because one thing you know about a physical trait, they change, especially when it comes to thin and small and fat and skinny and athletic. It changes as you age. I don't want anybody to date me. Oh, you have long, beautiful black hair. And I want to date you because you have long, beautiful black hair. Because you, as you age, you may not have long, beautiful black hair. Nobody should be dating anybody specifically because of this. Now, you should be attracted to your mate. Yes. Abso-fucking-lutely. It would be hard to date somebody you wasn't attracted to. But don't date anybody that says all black women are ugly, all white women are ugly. Anybody that's saying that all black men are ugly, all white men are ugly, anybody that say that all anything, run from them motherfuckers. Just run. Just run for the hills, because they don't like you. They don't like you. You fit a role. And shout out to Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic, because they have been hit by catastrophic flooding in Puerto Rico. And I think they're about to end a bunch of power outages, up to 30, nearly 30 inches of rain. And then they're going to be slamming it into the Dominican Republic. So, you know, definitely everybody who's listening to my pod there, I stay safe out there, you guys. My, you know, well wishes and heart go out to all of y'all, okay? Because these storms are getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Yes! Y'all still mad about this mermaid? Like, y'all got 4 million dislikes about this mermaid. All my white people, come here. Come here. I need to highlight y'all for a minute. Okay. I need to highlight y'all. Okay. Why y'all so mad about this mermaid? Like, I've not figured out why y'all are mad about the Little Mermaid, that it got 4 million, because we talked about it last week, but it got 4 million dislikes. I don't know if y'all realize it, but you cannot watch something that come up on YouTube. Like, you don't have to look at it. You don't have to comment on it. You don't have to engage with it, because if you engage with it, guess what? You're going to see more of it. I don't know if y'all know that. So I just wanted to tell you. So all 4 million of y'all dumbasses is now going to see more of the Little Mermaid with Ariel, who is black now. I'm not a big live action person, because I don't understand why Disney do this. Like, who is this for? Like, why do y'all keep trying to make children films for adults? Like, please stop it. Nobody needs to see that. Like, if you was going to remake The Little Mermaid, why couldn't it have been a fucking cartoon? Like, I'm not understanding why it needs to be a live action. Like, Chloe Bailey could have still been Ariel. You could have still made her look like her, but as a cartoon, if you really wanted it to be for children, you trying to make this for adults. Stop it. You trying to make it for grown folks who grew up with The Little Mermaid. That's who this is for. Okay? When y'all do all this live action shit. I hated all the live action. I hated Pinocchio. I didn't like any of the live action films that y'all created. Beauty and the Beast, Cinderella, none of it. And my children didn't like it either. They don't stay interested and engaged in that stuff that long when it's live action. So you should probably, you can do more with it when it's under the sea. You know what I mean? Like, when it's a cartoon, you can really make it something. So the fact that you didn't, I'm like, stop it, Disney. But listen, white people, y'all know y'all don't have to watch that, right? You don't have to look at it. And honestly, I don't know why it makes you so angry. I've said this last week. I've said it last year when it came out. It was said that it was going to be coming out, or the year before that. I said what I said, and I still meant it. This is a fable. This is a fish. She's not real. This came out of a book. And in the book, they didn't even tell you what the fuck she looked like. She didn't even have a name. Like, I don't understand. Like, all of this stuff was created by Disney. That's like Santa Claus wasn't skinny until Coca-Cola came in. Now you say, oh, you gotta be a fat white man. Why? Because Coca-Cola did that. Y'all are just picking and choosing things that a marketer made for y'all. Everything about the aerial that you're saying is your tradition was created strategically by somebody who said, no, don't do that because that color don't match. It had nothing to do with your heritage or her heritage because she's a fish. She's not real. She don't exist. And there were stories of mermaids everywhere. In Africa, Mother Water, I think is the name that she's was out in the Caribbean. They've been stories of mermaids. They've always been stories of mermaids. Maybe if Disney wanted to tell an African American story, just maybe. And I think that having Ariel black is fine. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a fictional story. It didn't exist. So I have no problem with that. But if you really wanted to take it to the next level, why not tell one of those African mermaid stories? Or at least add in some of those elements into the new... We'll see if they do that. But add some of those elements into the new Little Mermaid, because basically the story that we know that is the Little Mermaid was not... I said this last week. It's not the actual story that was in that book by Hans Christian Andersen. It's not the same Little Mermaid. They made that up. So why can't you do the same for this one? Just change the story. Because I'm like, white people, if they changed the story and just made a black mermaid, would y'all still be mad? Like, I feel like you would still be mad. It's just so dumb. It's so dumb. Unless, like I said, you're half flounder, half trout. This is not your heritage. It was made in somebody's mind back in medieval times, and they probably was crazy as hell because all of them seemed like they was a little off back then. They made this shit up. So I am not understanding it. You, because I'm like, it's a lot of issues with the Little Mermaid. A lot of them. Ariel being black is not one of them. But the fact that she was 15 marrying a grown man is problematic, and we still have not fixed that issue in this story yet. We have yet to address that issue that she was 15. Anybody? Hello? Hello? Is this on? She was 15. He was grown. Y'all worrying about the wrong shit. Her being black with red dreadlocks ain't the problem. Just saying. Okay. So let's do it. Do it, do it, do it, do it. I'm going to end on this. This is a very infuriating story, but I'm going to end on this nonetheless. So the story has gone viral. It's about a 15-year-old girl named Piper Lewis. She's from Iowa. I didn't even know black people lived in Iowa, but apparently they do. So this 15-year-old girl was allegedly raped, forced into sex work against her will, and she ended up killing one of her rapists. A judge ordered her to pay restitution to the family of the man that she killed. She was 15 at the time. She killed Zachary Brooks, who was 37. Piper Lewis comes from a really bad background. Well, she didn't really have people around her who protected her and cared for her. She apparently fled an abusive home where she was being abused by, I believe it's her stepmother. I don't think it was her mother. I think it was her stepmother. And so she left. And she had no one that was really protecting her, no one that she could go to. So she ended up sleeping in hallways in apartments. And she met a man who she thought could help her out. He ended up being abusive, and she ended up leaving. And in the process of doing that, she was sleeping in a hallway. She was approached by another man who they do not name in these articles from CNN, who she referred to as her boyfriend. He told her that that was going to be her boyfriend. She met this man in like April 2020, and they dated up until she got arrested. So Piper Lewis ended up killing Zachary Brooks in 2020, and she was sentenced. She never denied that she did it. She was sentenced to 5 years of probation, which at first she was actually going to spend time in jail, but they deferred that sentence and she got 5 years of probation. She's to serve 200 hours of community service and pay $150,000 in restitution, which the GoFundMe has raised over $300,000. So the restitution is paid and $4,000 in civil penalties. Okay. And it could be a deferred judgment, meaning that it could be expunged from her record, which means that this dark cloud, besides, you know, being, of course, abused, raped, and taking somebody's life, that's a huge dark cloud that's going to follow you around anyway. But she doesn't have to have this criminal case follow her around her whole life. The person who actually started GoFundMe, she's going to help Piper Lewis go to college. And she's going to start her own business and explore ways to help other young victims of sex crimes. The girl who started the GoFundMe page is Leland, a former teacher. So she pled guilty in June of 2021 of killing Zachary Brooks back in 2020. She met Brooks through the man who was supposedly protecting her and being her boyfriend. He was also a grown man, and he was forcing her to have sex with men for money. That was the arrangement that they came up with for Piper. Piper said that she first met Brooks in May of 2020. When she was told to go to his home by her boyfriend, allegedly made to have alcohol and marijuana. And she said she had sex with him 5 times. And she said, he had sex with her 5 times. Or he raped her 5 times because she was unconscious at the time. And she said this was over a 3-day period that this was going on. And she said she learned of what he had done when she would regain consciousness. And he was still on top of her, or he was naked somewhere. So she figured out what was going on. And on the end of May, her boyfriend at the time, the man who said that he was her boyfriend, put a knife to her throat, and he ordered her to go back to Zachary Brooks' apartment to have sex with him in exchange for marijuana. So the guy, her boyfriend at the time, wanted marijuana. He didn't have any. Brooks did. And so in order for him to pay him, he would send him his 15-year-old girlfriend in order to have sex with. And she said she eventually agreed to go after he cut her neck. So Zachary Brooks came to pick her up. He drove her to his apartment. She was told to go in his bedroom. She said she was forced to drink vodka shots, and then she fell asleep. And then she said at one point in the night, she woke up and Brooks was raping her. She said Brooks fell asleep and went to go find her clothes. Piper went to go find her clothes. When she came back into the bedroom, she saw that he was passed out. She said she realized she had been raped yet again. And to overcome the rage of him raping her, she said, without thinking, and these are her words, she said, "I suddenly realized that Mr. Brooks had raped me yet again and was overcome with rage. Without thinking, I immediately grabbed the knife from his nightstand and began stabbing him. I further acknowledged that the multiple stab wounds that I inflicted upon Mr. Brooks thereafter ultimately resulted in his death." Said this in a courtroom last week, and she also continued to say, "As I grow and evolve as a young woman, I feel the victim's family. I wish what happened never happened or never did, and I truly feel the same way. The healing process is inevitable. I repeat, I wish the events that occurred on June 1st, 2020 never occurred, but to say there is only one victim of this story is absurd." We are, you know, her attorneys also did make a statement as well, and they said they were thrilled that the judge deferred the sentence, and they said that Piper is extremely grateful for all the love and compassion and support that she has received and has been met immediately and falls in and she has met anyone that has met her immediately fell in love with her. She's a remarkable young woman who has remarkable courage, and she's amazed at the love she received. She's just blown away. And she said, "We're all frankly blown away by, I guess, all the money and support that she has been given. in this outreach. So, the Iowa Coalition Against Sexual Assault says that they don't believe the justice was served, given the fact that she's on probation and she spent some time behind bars, and they were saying that that should have never been happened. It have never happened, and they also have some concern about her ability to manage her probation due to the severity of her trauma. So this probation is strict supervision, and is meaning that she has to be supervised. She has to follow this to a T. This is not any lightweight. Like, if she makes any error, she's going to jail. And they're saying that this is not okay. So this has sparked a conversation of a lot of people about this case, and I guess whether or not she should have been convicted. I think that we've seen so many of these cases. Again, the women get convicted, eventually they get out, or, you know, the governor, like Gavin Newsom, pardoned someone who was in a very similar situation. But we tend to see the women who are also victims be prosecuted. I think in this particular case, I think from a law perspective, I believe because she pled guilty, I believe, the only thing he could do was probably the probation, because she killed him when he was not a threat. So because there wasn't an imminent threat at the time, I think that's where these situations get a little dicey. I still believe that she's 100% a victim, and we do need to do better of protecting our young girls and women, especially because if you don't have anywhere to go, yeah, you're more likely to be sex trafficked, because this person is offering you housing and a level of security that you don't have. And so we do need to be able to find these people who are trafficking these young girls, track them down, and they also need to be prosecuted. The fact that she has not, is the boyfriend, I don't believe, has been arrested is problematic to me. I think that that boyfriend that put her in that situation needs to also be tried for murder, because he put her in that situation. And I think that if we start doing things like that and really showing that people around you are not just going to walk away from these situations of sexual abuse and trauma and assault, people who help to aid these people, like the R. Kellys of the world, I think people would stop doing it. Like, he needs to be prosecuted just like she is. If you are going to prosecute her, you also need to prosecute him, not just for, you know, sex trafficking and violence and abuse and assault, but also, and probably rape as well, because I'm pretty sure he was a grown man. Murder. He put her in that situation. She didn't have any choice. He also needs to be charged. Like, I think they need to give him some manslaughter, something. Like, I don't know what you can give him, but he needs to get something. I'm just saying. And this has been another episode of the Millennials Anonymous Podcast. Make sure you guys come back next week. And I may or may not tell y'all, but no, I probably won't. Because, yeah, I won't have anything to tell you yet. But it's coming. All right? So make sure y'all be safe.